Welcome and good evening, everyone. This is Studio W The Buzz. Coming up, your favorite show, the Soul Savage Show, with Q Lynn Green, EB, and Miss TLC, right after this.
The joy I bring, I wanna give you all my love. That's all I wanna do.
Every day
and every hour, baby.
Don't you love no more?
My love is yours.
You.
That's all I wanna do.
Every day
and every minute, every hour, baby.
Don't you love no more?
Your love, and you
is all I wanna do.
No limit. Hey, welcome to Studio W, The Buzz, your global radio network, and the Soul 70s Show. Special show tonight. We've got EB, Mrs. Q Lynn Green, and our special guest, Miss TLC. Give it up for her.
Hello, everybody. Hey.
Mm-hmm. A round of applause.
Guest host back, Miss TLC.
There are so many people in the audience. I love it.
Yes. We got the extra special. We got that in the budget. So we got some old stuff. We got some little tricks and trades we doing without the show. We got a little extra technical stuff we got going on. Me and Will just concocted this, actually 7 minutes before we got on air, but that's all right. We just thought of this. And so it's new, fresh. Thank y'all for tuning in. Everybody listening on the ING2 app. Or StudioWBuzz.com. We've been talking about this all day. Y'all been lighting up my messages talking about, listen, I don't know what this thing is with this Mary J. Blige. Everybody's picking. If y'all didn't know, we doing a sort of a Royal Rumble thing, but we'll get a tag when we come back from break. But we doing a Mary J. Blige versus Faith Evans show, this entire show. And I just told everybody we was doing on Instagram, Twitter, well not on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook, and everybody's picking Mary J. Blige for some reason. Y'all not giving, I need explanations behind it, so I'm trying to persuade the people. Actually, I'm trying to persuade as many people as possible, so this show is very important. I picked all my songs of Faith Evans. I forgot to let Miss TLC pick some. I forgot all about that.
But my songs, I'm in the middle. I had a feeling you were going to play the Faith, and
yes.
Eric was going to play the Mary. So
I
love them both.
Twin theory. Butter.
I mean,
I know, me too.
I'll break it down later on, but I do love them both, so it's kind of like, you know, I see both sides, but I understand your frustration that more people seem to pick Mary. because right. faith, you know, does not need to be ignored by any means necessary. But, you know, there's several layers to this. So
yes, that's why I got you on the show, Ms. TLC, because you're a swing voter. Because my passion runs deep, okay? I've been arguing with people since, like, 2 days ago about this, and they're not giving explanation. They like, I said what I said. Well, guess what? I said what I said. And Ms. Faith Evans needs to be defended at all costs. But that's a whole other subject. We're going to get to the Savvy Updates real quick before we go to break because we got so many songs. I know y'all been asking. People are emailing me asking us to play more songs. And so this is the show. So if you love Ms. Faith Evans and Ms. Mary J. Blige, guess what? You're getting a whole show full of songs. And these sort of like rounds, Will actually came up with it. He said we should do it like rounds. And I was like, that's the perfect idea.
Yeah.
You know, after each song, you know, say what we got to say and then play a song. And hopefully these songs that I pick, because I try to be on my A-game. I know Mr. E.B. been gone, you know, out here running these New York streets or whatever. I know he cooped up in the house now. He can't run the streets now because I heard it's a blizzard out there.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
no.
a heavy update. So what you been doing since you've been gone from the show? You've been gone for almost a month like I was the last month.
Oh, man.
what you been doing?
So much. I went to a couple concerts. I visited D.C., just, you know, I did two gigs, I think. Yeah, two gigs. So, just kind of,
Handling musical business.
That, yeah, handling musical business.
Wait, you did
like
a gig?
That.
You did a DJ gig?
Yeah, I had two of them. They were smaller ones.
Oh, you didn't even post? You get bad like me not posting stuff. I've been trying to get into, like, posting where I'll be at, because I'm going to be in Chicago. On Thanksgiving, that's a Savvy Update. I'm supposed to be performing at the Chicago Theater. We're back and behind a great band, but I was like, you getting bad as me not promoting stuff.
I'm terrible. Like, my social media is suffering.
I want to pay somebody to do that because it's weird doing it for myself. I'm like, this is strange. I don't know how to.
Right.
It's difficult, yeah. It's a difficult thing.
It's weird. Yeah. Right. But how did it go? Was it good? What kind of music you play?
Oh, I mean, everything I play is the same for now because it's all vinyl and it's all like old school R&B.
Oh,
and, you know, it's just like more of like a dance thing, like where people can come and dance. Like I don't really get a chance to play a lot of slow jam, which I hate because I love slow jams. But you know, when people partying, nobody really wants a full night of slow jams unless that is the theme.
Right, you want to keep the crowd up unless they know like a slow jam.
Right, exactly.
Right. The Migos, yeah, I would be surprised if you, like, I thought you were going to say, like, the Migos or something like that. I was, like, diversify your catalog of choices.
To that. I would totally, like, you know, do a party and play different stuff. I mean, obviously, it wouldn't be all vinyl then. It'd be digital, but I would still do something with, like, more modern music. I'd do some hip-hop in there, yeah.
That's what's up. And so you went, I saw you posted some concerts. You went to the Robert Glasper residency at the Blue Note.
At the Blue Note.
Yep.
Yeah. Actually, with Ms. TLC, we went together.
Yeah.
That
was the talk of town. Every musician that I know was talking about that. And they were posting stuff from their Instagram. I was like, man, they hit wow. I saw you had wow. Some, like, really credible musicians with them.
Oh, yeah, no. It was great. Like, I mean, Robert Glasper is probably, like, I always tell people, name anybody, and I've seen a good 80 to 90% of artists, but Robert Glasper is one that I had never seen live. It was my first time with Miss TLC we went, and it was my first time seeing him live, and it was absolutely amazing. Like, the level of musicianship on that stage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with Bilal singing, and they're doing a Miles Davis tribute at first. Yeah, Miles Davis tribute.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. Like, I wasn't prepared.
Oh, man.
I didn't know it was going to be that good. And then we also went to a Tom Misch concert, and I think we played some Tom Misch on the show before, but we went to Tom Misch's concert maybe, was it a week ago, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. Yeah, Tom's been playing.
Yeah.
And that was live, too. We were saying that, you know, the sound boards were definitely on point that night.
Oh, my God.
So well. Because he has such a unique tone to his voice, and I wasn't sure how it was really going to translate in a venue like that. It was at, where we go, Terminal 5. So I wasn't sure how it was going to come across, but it really sounded like crystal clear, and you could decipher the layers of, you know, all the different instrumentation and the background vocals and what he was leading with. So it was a very enjoyable show.
Yeah, the sound engineers were on point, like she said.
I mean, Robert Glasper, it really was like, you know, E.B. saying, it really was one of those moments where it just replenished your spirit, like it just fed your musical soul, because I had gone like a week and a half prior to a different Robert Glasper show with Yasiin Bey, and then Anderson .Paak got up at one point, and it was with a different, like, backing band, it was with, like, the trio. And I mean, I was like speechless. Like, I honestly, I'm usually not that way, because like Evie was saying, it's the same thing. It's like I've seen, you know, hundreds and hundreds of artists. I've seen, you know, practically anybody that I love, like name them, say, oh, I've seen them, whatever. But, you know, so unfortunately you get to that point where it takes a lot to truly impress you. And I left there, I mean, I was like, that easily jumped to the top five concerts I've been to. Like, you know, and it was an intimate small show, of course, like in a jazz club, but it was just incredible. So then I knew, like, immediately I had to make sure that I saw another one of the residency shows, and that's why I brought it up to EB, that I said, you know, this Miles Davis tribute, I'm sure, is going to be just as live with Bilal. And I was really glad that we got to experience that one as well.
I know, because it's so, Blue Note is so, like, up close and personal. It's like you can sit like right on stage if you wanted to. It's like just to experience that live. It's just so, I'm just saying, it's like just the atmosphere.
No, but that's funny. But you were literally up front, like on the stage.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I've been there before. That's why I was like, yeah, you can literally sit on stage or whatever.
It was funny because when they first seated us too, because he had turned around and he was like, oh, the stage is like literally next to my shoulder.
Right. Oh, right. You know, this is amazing.
Yeah, I wish Robert was just doing like a permanent residency there, but we know he has 5 million other things going on. But
right.
I'm like, be there all the time, and anytime you want to go, you just go there and he's there. But, you know, I'm very grateful that he at least did the full October, so hopefully he'll come back and do something like that again.
Right. It probably will. It sounds like it was a success. I know for sure the promoters and the owner of the see all those. I was just thinking, like, the business side of it, I was like, I know he going to come back, you know, all that, you know, money going.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
the lines were around the block, like, it was crazy. They were bringing people in, like, you know, it definitely was, like, a hot ticket. Like, people knew that you wanted to go, because also, like, there were always, you know, surprise guests and people popping up, so everybody knew that it was, like, you know, there's just things that aren't going to be announced beforehand, so you might as well just go and just see what happens, because, like, you know, Pac wasn't supposed to get up at the show I was at. He had performed a couple shows prior with him, so I thought he was, like, back on the West Coast, for all I knew. And then he got up, and he was singing the hook to Miss Fat Booty, and it was just like,
oh man,
that's cool. Right now. Man. I mean, it was just magical, because, like, Robert and his boys just, you know, jamming out to it. It was just fantastic.
Yeah, Man, it's such an interesting, like, New York is such a, like, interesting place. It's like L.A. Like, I can see, like, the similarities between there. Because it'll be just, like, you'll, like, run into, like, they'll just be in a spot, like, a celebrity. Like, and they'll have to be like, well, I'm like, oh, I know a person from such and such. And they just be, like, casually, like, blending in. Because I went to Blue Note, I went there, and that actress, I always mess up her name. I think her name is Shanoa Maxwell, the one that was on that movie that I said I didn't like. But now I like now.
Yeah,
what's it called? Have Plenty.
Yeah.
I seen her in there. I was like, oh, there's that one girl, that movie I didn't like, but I like it now, because I thought it was like, I haven't seen it since it came out, and so I didn't like it because it was Hill Harper in it. I hate most of this. I was like, oh, man, he's in this movie. He's always a douchebag in a movie. That's why I never liked it. But when I watched it, I was like, oh, this is actually, you know, a great movie. I was like, I should have gave it a chance 15, 20 years, or however long ago was it came out. I was like, I should have gave it a chance.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, because it's true. Like, the night I was there for the Yasiin Bey one, people were going nuts on the line at one point because Chadwick Boseman came out. Because it was, that not only was it incredible that, like, Robert was doing this, but he was also doing two shows a night. So, you know, I was there for the second show at that time, and when the first show was coming out, Chadwick came out, and, like, of course, the line was going nuts, and then somebody's yelling, and they're like, oh, my God, Black Panther's here. I was like, he hates the...
he ain't got a name no more.
He's
Black Panther.
But he was being nice to everybody about it, and it's true. Like, the photography backstage, I mean, from every one of the shows, they always had, like, incredible guests there. And then EB was, like, going to lose his mind because on our show, Keon Harold came up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, he's a phenomenal actor. He's amazing.
Well, he was great. You know, and Robert was like, you know, you have to understand, like, in Don's, you know, Don Cheadle's Miles movie, like, that's Keon Howe, like, playing everything. So,
right.
That was as well.
I have some updates, and it's buffering. I have actually a listener question for you, Ms. TLC. But while that, I'm looking for that email because I think I deleted it on accident. Because you know, like, you get mass emails at one time and then you're trying to sort through them. And I just, like, hit, like, reply. I hit, like, inbox all and delete them all at the same time. And I think I accidentally deleted it, but most of these. But, yeah, I pulled one up. I'm still waiting for it to pop up. But while I'm doing that, I was update EB on what we was doing the past two shows. Or the past three shows because you was gone when Lee was here. Lee Trouble. When he was on, that show was crazy. We were talking about that show with Lee. We were talking about cheating. And if you go on, it's posted on the web on soul7s.com. It's titled Eligible Girlfriend / Boyfriend. And that's what I call cheating, like, or whatever.
And you're not eligible.
That's, again, I was about to check you out because you said misses. I don't know what, that's again, when you put, this is what happens when you put your business on the radio. I forget that this ain't just us talking, that it's like a lot of people that tune in. And so that's all that, I'm not answering none of those emails. We go, it's too many personal questions y'all asking. I'm not, I might just sit, I just reply to it privately, but y'all ask too many personal questions. I appreciate you putting my business out there, Will. I'm just saying. Don't put that marriage energy on me. Because I told you I'm an eligible girlfriend out there. So but anyway.
You said.
Anyway, we had Leon with that, and it got kind of heated because we were talking about cheating, and I was like, because it was based upon watching Jada and Will, or not Jada and Will, Jada's Red Table Talk show with her daughter and her mother, and I thought it was such a, like, profound conversation they were having. But I saw, it was mostly motivated by, like, look, they were taking bits and pieces of the clips and was saying, oh, they're, like, open relationships. They cheated. He was saying, just because Will said that he made her cry 45 days straight, they interpreted that as cheating on her. And I was like, how do you go from that conclusion to what he just said? And I was like, that didn't make any sense. And so I was like, just, like, talking about cheating in general. I was like, why is this such a big deal? And why is it always a one-sided conversation? Why is it always the person that cheated fault? Like, I was just saying, okay, what if somebody did something that was cheat-worthy? That was just my positioning on it. And then I was just wanting to know, like, where's the accountability with both sides? And people, and then Will and Whitney was trying to make it seem like it's just that person that did it. But Lee summed it up. If y'all want to listen to the show, but that was the summary of that. But it got kind of heated because Will was trying to go back and forth with me. And I told him I'm living my best life, and so we weren't doing that. And so.
You admitted that you weren't loyal. You admitted to the whole world that you aren't loyal.
I never said that. See how he interprets information? You see how he interprets that?
Evie, what did she say? What did she say?
Listen.
She said she's almost loyal, right?
Listen, just because I said I'm kind of taken and I'm kind of loyal, I'm kind of faithful out here.
Kind of.
Okay, he interprets that and say I'm cheating. I didn't say, look, I just said, I summarize it as, look at this, Miss PLC. If I say, okay, if I have a job and I'm still looking, what does that mean to you? Like, am I keeping my options open? Like, I'm not doing anything. I'm just looking. Like, you just go on Google and you say, like, hey, what's going on in my city? That's all I was doing. That's like, I'm not cheating. That's what I'm cheating.
Interesting analogy.
I'm just cheating.
About it that way. That's an interesting analogy.
Yeah.
Because it's true. Like, it's
okay.
I'm just looking to see what's out there.
Oh.
I'm the ilk to say, that ain't cool. Like, that's not acceptable to me. But if you're saying, like, yeah, but with employment, like, you don't want to wait till you've lost a job and then be out there unemployed and with no money. So
right.
You just got to out there. And if something looks like better, then you would obviously leave the first job before you take the other job. You're not going to be working full time.
If somebody is soliciting me a job that looks decent, that's why I'm not searching for it. If somebody sends me a DM and I look at it and I'm like, oh no, I'm good on that, and I don't allow the DM to come in, I decline it. That doesn't mean I'm cheating. I decline it. I'm looking at it. I'm not, that's not what that means.
It means that it wasn't big or shiny or...
I told you, I got a contest all the time. It was two dudes that gave me their number in one night. Did I use them? No. I was trying to be nice. Okay? I don't even know their name. Their name is just like, I probably think it's a contact for some business. Okay? Like, they just asked for a number and then I put their number on my phone. They don't mean I'm cheating. I was just trying to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I could have called them that night.
Yeah.
I didn't do that. Okay, we're getting too much personal information. We're supposed to be getting to the break. Before we do that, the other two shows we did, we had two phenomenal guests on. One was a jazz musician. He's actually Adele's pianist. He played for Mary J. Blige, too, EB. He played for Mary J. Blige, Sade. We started talking about how he was on the tour, the Rhythm Nation tour, that was his first gig that he ever did. We talked about that. Oh, it was amazing. He's talking about how Chucky Booker was the music director for the first tour. It was two tours. I was like, oh, it was a great conversation. And then he started talking about, I thought it was so profound. We were talking about how he got the gig as being Adele's pianist. And he said he was just in a hotel, a Beverly Hills hotel, playing around on the hotel's piano. And somebody from her camp was asking him questions about his musical knowledge and does he know how to read music and all that stuff, and that's how it happened. And he met Adele. He said he didn't recognize her because she had lost so much weight, and he said whenever she was talking to Adele, she was like, you really don't know who I am, do you? He was like, no. And then she started singing Hello. He's like, oh, I know you, or whatever. And I was like, wow, like how far removed are you have to be to where, you know, I was like, she probably liked that you didn't know who she was. And he's like, yeah, that was true. So I thought that was a great conversation. And then he started talking about Al Jarreau, work with Al Jarreau and, George Duke. I was like, man, this is a great conversation. And then, EB, we got to the Patty versus Aretha and the What's Wrong With You game. Well, I tell you.
That was hilarious.
It went to another level. Listen, I think I lit the flame. Because I was sitting there trolling him, because I figured out in the interview, I was like, he gets really intense talking about music. And I was like, I'm going to press his butt when we get to this game. And as soon as I told him it was something wrong with him, after the Aretha question, he blew up. He was like, what are you talking about? He's like, what do you mean? He's like, am I the guest? And he started complaining. Yep. Oh, it was funny.
Will, you missed it. That was sure Will. That's sure Will. He'll be on tonight.
Sure Will.
He'll be on tonight.
I'll be listening.
He has a radio show on the Studio W, and he'll be on tonight at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time,
yes.
11 o'clock where you are, EB, and 10 o'clock on Central Standard Time. Yep. Q-Link gave him a hard time.
That's crazy.
Because you know that that What's Wrong With You game is rigged anyway, so he caught on to it.
No, it's not rigged. And then we had, no, it's not, Will. We had singer Ava Monroe. She's done like background for like Fantasia, Yolanda Adams. We was talking about that, and she also gave an inside of doing the BET Awards one year and Kanye backing for Kanye West. And she said she saw John Legend and the legendary Patrice Rushen. She was the music director for that award show, and that they were kind of getting in a music debate about what parts to pick and choose from the song or whatever. And I was like, man, I was like, that's crazy. I was like, and she said they ended up picking John Legend's part. I was like, oh, that makes sense, because that was sort of his song, kind of, with Kanye West, so that would make sense. But I thought it was cool. I was wanting her. We had them on for like the whole show. I was like, I was trying to weave in, but we didn't have no savvy news or raggedy news anyway to talk about. But that was just a rundown. And then we did like a Big Jim Wright appreciation, the whole show, because we're supposed to have him on last week, and that it, and I just felt like it felt right. And then we connected with Ava and started talking to her about it, and she just dropped so many gems. She was a actual friend with a Big Jim, so I thought that was cool that we had one of his
amazing
friends on, and we were talking about that. And then it was just eerie, like the stuff she was telling me, because she was saying that how they were connecting over Dennis Edwards, Don't Look Any Further, and that she said that's how she connected with me because I had posted a video on my Instagram page and on Twitter with that video of them, and she was saying that that just came from an Ozzy Brothers show, and he just kept talking about that song and started singing it and all that stuff. And that was, I told her it was eerie because that's how I connected with him, was at an Ozzy Brothers show. So I thought all that was like, wow, this is so, like, freaky, like, how many levels to it. And then also, like, connecting with her, she's, like, connecting me, like, with all the people that he knows. So I thought that was cool, like, that connection or whatever. We had a good time. That was a good show. I'm getting ready to edit that and post that tomorrow, but that's all the savvy. And then I just found the question. It's from Maynard from, he's from Europe. I don't know how to pronounce his country, so I'm not even going to attempt to. It starts with an R. I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's somewhere in Europe. But it's from Maynard, and he's asking, Miss TLC, has she ever had any trials or anything she had to overcome working in the music industry?
I mean, can I, like, explain them for, like, 5 hours? No, I mean,
that's a very in-depth question.
One of the biggest that I can just, you know, round up fairly quickly is just the fact that, you know, now that there are so many harassment lawsuits that have come out and people see that, you know, a lot of people have accepted things in the workplace because they're just kind of told it's the norm. That's when everybody kind of collectively revisits it, you know, like me and all my old colleagues and classmates, and, you know, you feel like you are a old club together, and you kind of talk amongst yourselves about, like, wow, you know, this probably wasn't right what we dealt with, and that wasn't right what we dealt with, and you just kind of get normalized by the situation, which is a bad thing, because in these creative fields, a lot of times, people do let, you know, the stress and the environment kind of get the best of them, because you are also allowed to be very social where you might not be in other corporate environments. So if you're having constant get-togethers in the office where everybody's, you know, drinking, partying, talking, the music that you're working on and releasing is obviously full of, you know, maybe explicit material, curses, whatever, and people are, you know, having these crazy parties with artists, you know, all hours of the night. Tempers can flare, you know, things can be said, you know, and people even get to that point where it's like actual behaviors are offensive to others. And, you know, I definitely look back at things and you wonder to yourself, like, wow, like I was in college and dealing with, you know, a lot of very crazy personalities from, you know, executives. And, you know, there were people who would be screaming and, like, really screaming at people, throwing stuff in their office, and, you know, even some very famous folks, which, you know, I won't name, but, like, there's definitely, like, a point where you realize that you were put under a very stressful kind of pressure-filled environment, and, you know, you look back and you say, what is really the benefit there? Like, is it a good thing to be involved in that? Because I know that people have come forth now and come out with a lot of that in the film industry, in the ad industry, in the fashion industry. A lot of these creative fields, there's just kind of like blurred lines around the way you're allowed to act in business situations, because the business is also personal. Like, there's just so many parties and social occasions built into what you do. So that's kind of the hard part. That's where you got to kind of toe the line to say, you know, you have to set your own boundaries. You have to understand, like, what it is that you're willing to deal with. And obviously you don't want to have that kind of harassment around you. But it is something that you have to take into consideration before you do step into that world. There aren't
right,
as many,
exactly,
like, strict, you know, HR policies. I briefly worked at one point. I had taken on, like, a consultant gig in more of a conservative environment, and, like, seeing how the rest of the world lives was, like, shocking to me, like, to see that there are offices where there are real, like, you know, rules, and people aren't blasting music. You know, I'd be sitting at my desk all the time, like, blasting, you know, Lil Kim's Hardcore, and, like, the HR person would walk by and just laugh and roll his eyes. Like, you know, I mean, that's just kind of what we all understood and accepted and enjoyed. But, you know, I know that the rest of the world is not really dealing with that, so of course you have to understand that there are boundaries and guidelines, and, you know,
wow,
definitely a little dicey, because it's true. Like, you look back now, and it's like, wow, like, I was a teenager when I got into the industry, so it's crazy that there was a lot of stuff that I was, you know, exposed to. You're backstage at the shows, you know, you're working major parties, Grammy events, and, you know, you just had to, like, everybody was always like, you can't act like the celebrities or anybody, you know, special, they're just people, but you can't, you know, interact with certain levels of executives, and you just gotta, you know, let things go, and you do that because you're just like, well, obviously I wanna, like, keep this job, and you're also enjoying, you know, the experience. But looking back now, especially with what's constantly in the news, it's like, yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily healthy across the board. You do have to put your foot down on certain things.
Right. You know, you saying, like, similar to, I think, like, any part of the entertainment industry you work in is like that, because what you're saying is, like, definitely, like, the past 12 years, like, being in the industry is, like, the same thing.
Yeah.
Man, I want to tell this one story, because he's, like, been in the news lately of that, but his sort of down spiral. I'll just say the person that was on the friend in That's So Raven. I guess that's a hint enough, but I was in a situation to where I was like looking, I was like, wow, like, cause we were at dinner and I was like, wow, y'all just, and his people around him was just like acting like this was like the most normal thing. And I was like, am I the only one like a little bit weirded out by this, like how he's acting? Cause we had a restaurant and I was like, whoa, like what's going on? Like this is too strange. But now his behavior started making sense, like, after the past couple of years, I was like, oh, okay, this is what this is. But you definitely hit on that, and you just see stuff, and it's like, am I the only one seeing this? It is, but nobody says anything. And I was like, wow, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be at labels, and people would, you know, whisper amongst themselves to say, you know, if somebody was buzzed in, like, through reception, they'd be like, oh, you know, that's so-and-so's drug dealer. And then there'd be other situations, the other side of it, where somebody would get fired, and then everybody would say behind the scenes, like, oh, they got caught, you know, using petty cash, their expense account for drugs. Like, so they understood there was you couldn't do, but yet, like, a lot of it was still going on. Like, we did have an HR, like, conference at one of the labels I worked at one point, where they really were trying to put, like, stipulations in place against, like, payola. And they really had to put, like, a lot of emails up on the big screen and really go through things with people, like, this kind of language you can't be putting in if you're talking to, you know, program directors and managers and what have you about artists. And when they were using examples that they had actually pulled off the server from different people within the company, there were emails that were, like, straight up discussing, like, using, oh, I'll come to, you know, your office with these strippers, or, oh, you know, what do you need us to bring you? And they'd be like, I'm going to need, like, a girl in my hotel room. Like, crazy stuff that, you know, everybody's, like, chuckling along. And then there's, of course, like, the people that are very offended. And then, of course, there's the people that are, you know, looking at it, like, dead serious, like, what's the problem here? Like, this is what we got to do. Like, we got to get these artists promoted. So if their people are saying, like, I'm going to need, you know, this on my rider, champagne, you know, I'm going to need a car to drive me around Miami, I'm going to need, you know, a couple strippers with me at all times, like, it's like, no, 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 like, that ain't cool. You can't just, like, discuss this, like, that's, like, a commodity that's just, like, part of the deal. Okay, I'm going to need this, I'm going to need that, and putting it in, like, corporate emails, you know.
Wow.
So there's definitely a lot of lines that are blurred in any of those creative fields. And, you know, I'm happy that at least stuff is being looked at under a microscope now, and they're trying to obviously, you know, put different initiatives in place because of so much stuff that's been publicized where people have been put in precarious positions now. So, you know, you can't 100% clean up everything because, like I said, I mean, you're in a situation where people are drinking, people are partying, it's a lot of social events, you're going to concerts, you're, you know, going to all these little mixers with creative folks, you know, that are happening. You know, there's times that you're with your work people at, like, midnight at a club, or, you know, it's just part of the scene. So, yeah, I mean, you're not going to be buttoned up, like, super conservative eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, but it's like, you got to just make sure that people are still adults about it and they understand, like, how to act towards each other.
Right, exactly. Listen, you're giving a lot of great perspective. Thank you, Maynard. I think that's how you, is it M-A-Y-N-A-R-D? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
I'll be trying to not mess people's names up. I think that's how you say it. Maynard. Okay. Thank you, Maynard. And then also, you got a lot of compliments, though. Most of these are just compliments on how knowledgeable you were about Prince. They appreciated that. Marina Winifred said that. Jocelyn, I don't know how to, it just says her last name. I mean, it doesn't have a last name. It's just the email. It says Jocelyn. Jocelyn, let me see. This other person that gave you a compliment and said they were laughing the whole time. They said Lelia. I think I'm saying it right. I think that's how you pronounce it. Sorry, y'all. I'm sounding it out. But thank you to all those that sent those emails. Lovely emails. They just said how much they love the show and that they appreciate all your knowledge on Prince. And I don't know why you built, before we go to break, I don't know why you built him out. I just want to say you built him out on that, the time song of that snip that Grace, because he didn't know what that was. He just be pulling songs from the thing for the show. And so I was wanting him to explain why, where he got that song from. The 2 minute clip of that wasn't 779311.
Oh, the intro, and, right?
Yeah, and he didn't know what it was. And so when you said Grace, he thought you said great. That's what a lot of people commented. They just couldn't remember it. She was like, does he not know the song? I'm like, exactly. That's why I was calling him out on it, because he didn't know what it was. He thought you were saying he was great. She didn't say that. I just want to let you know that. Thank you to the listeners that caught that, because I didn't even remember that until you just posted. Thank you. Let me see. Let me make sure he shouts you out. Hold on. Let me pull it back up. Pull your name up, because you're talking right. You're talking all the way right. Leonie Dransfield. Thank you so much for that email. Thank you for pointing that out, because I would have let him get away with that. He didn't know that song, Miss TLC. That's all I was telling you. And so, that's why I was asking him on air. But we're going to move on from that. We're going to bypass that. That's old news. We're trying to make it anew.
The newest thing from this week was
right.
Blackish. Hopefully everybody saw that. And you know,
right. Oh, that was amazing.
It honored his legacy in definitely a respectful way. You know, in 30 minutes, you know, less than that, of course, with commercials, they really packed a lot about him into that script in, you know, a fun and amusing and entertaining way, but also, you know, touched on a lot of serious matters as well and, you know, threw in the laughs and were real honorable towards, you know, his style and his eras and the songs and whatnot. And, you know, they threw some Erotic City, which is always a plus. And reference the Gold album and stuff. So, I mean, all of that just made, you know, my heart beam, so... Hopefully everybody gets a chance to go back and watch that Blackish if they didn't see it while it was airing live.
Yes, that was a great episode. I enjoyed it. I love how realistic they made it with the younger kids, like not knowing who Prince is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's natural for them not to know because they're so young, but it was just like, they were like, oh, I'd rather listen to Gucci Gang than, it was like, I don't care how many Grammys he got, you can't do this to Prince. And I was like, you're definitely right, you can't, and he was like, who wants to do that to Prince? I was like,
mind you,
right.
I got my nieces, nephews and everything into Prince, who are super young, you know, just to expose them. Of course, like, I teach them all of these lessons about, you know, the history of, you know, this thing.
Yeah.
Music, but at the same time, like, you're right, like, you can't get away from what they hear all the time in the schoolyard and what their friends are playing and, you know, them hearing what's hot and on the radio and whatnot. So we were all watching the episode together, and they were super excited because of everything that they know about Prince already from me, so they could relate to it, but at the same time, it was showing them through other kids' eyes because they watch Blackish anyway, so they enjoy the show anyway, and then they're like, oh, you know, it's fun to see that these kids that we like anyway are now talking about Prince. But of course, when they had the scene when, like, Gucci Gang was playing, they all jumped up and started dancing and whatnot, because of course, it's like, they still do want to, like, support that, and I get it, you know, and the part where, you know, the kids were listening on the headphones and jamming out, like, one of my nieces actually said it, because she's like, they're not listening to Prince, they're probably listening to Gucci Gang. And then sure enough, like, when they played that, I was like, yep, see, you called it. I was like, because you know your people. She's 8 years old, and this niece, so she knew. I was like, you related. You got
all
it. And we're doing.
That show was the other night was hilarious. I loved it. And the outfit, I was like, I knew he was going to dress up, but I knew he was going to take it because Anthony Edson always takes it to the extreme.
Yeah.
With his characters. But when he had that one piece on doing Kiss, oh, man. I had it on my Insta story on Instagram, my reaction to it, but that was, oh, man, I was in tears watching that. That was so funny. They were dancing to Kiss and then Erotic City, him and Tracy, and then she had these It was just her facial expressions that was taking me out. It was funny.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a great show. But we getting ready to go to break. I'm trying to think of something else because we got the whole show. I feel like I just told Will before we got on air. I feel like I can sum mine up in 5 minutes. But since we on the show, I'm going to try to stretch it out because we're going to break it up in parts. Like I said, we're doing the Mary J. Blige versus Faith Evans musical debate. And I feel like I can sum mine up in 5 minutes. But I'm going to stretch it out just for the show purpose. Maybe a little bit. Maybe we get done on time. We get all these songs out. We get ready to go to break real quick. And I just wanted to say, in that whole thing when you answering the listeners' questions, I was like, man, you are solid. I'm using Chicago term. I'm like, you solid for saying you play Little Kim in your you play Little Kim in the office. Yes.
That's
no time in the office.
He just used to laugh because he was like, oh, I could always count on you, T. I come by your desk and it's crazy playing. I'm like, yep.
All here is sticky for your creams and your riches. I'm trying to edit the words because we can't cuss like that. I got 5 cuss word limits. And so I won't use all mine.
No, you don't.
I do have a cuss word limit. You gave me 5.
You use them all up in 2017.
I actually could use Whitney's. I actually used Whitney's this week because she's gone. So technically I got 10 cuss words. But what we're going to do real quick, we're going to hit y'all. We're doing the Mary J. Blige versus Faith Evans. And so we playing their songs back to back. And so he about to hit us with this Faith Evans joint. And we'll be back. And we're going to get this thing popping. So we'll be back.
Compared to your love, I wake up feeling good every day. I used to have a problem with love until you were directing my way.
Baby, you can see that you love me.
Faith Evans, Faithfully, and we're back. This is the Soul Savage Show. Q-Lynn Green, EB, and Miss TLC. Back to you, Q-Lynn.
Yes, we're getting ready to do this music debate, Royal Rumble. That's what I call it, because this is two heavyweight bouts going on right here. Will, you go do the intro, you go start us out, and get us introduced the debaters. The music, the whole thing, the boxing bout.
Yes, and what we do, we need to lay down some ground rules. We need to lay down some ground rules. Okay. All right. Oh, yeah. This is going to be the Royal Rumble. And I think we're going to start with this last song that we played also, okay? We're going to start with that one. But we need to lay down some ground rules because we want no cheating. Because everyone knows that Q-Lynn, she makes up these games, right? So we have to make sure that they are scrutinized properly.
Listen, I'm very fair. I don't know where the listen, can I give the points, what we give points on and what the points deduction are you going to give? Oh, you know what? I give the points, yes. And then you give them what we deducted it on. That's
okay.
How we do it.
Now,
the points are, we've given points on originality, Okay, y'all can be included in there. How many, I'm giving, 500 points for how many records? How many, who has the most successful records, whatever, if we want to count down the hits. Okay, we give 500 points for that. And then originality, we get, how do y'all want to do the point system? We grading on originality, song, album, debut albums, whose debut album is that? We grading the points on that. The sophomore albums, we're going to stick with those two because they both have great debut and sophomore albums. We give a points on that, and then we're giving points on best features. So how do y'all want to do the grading system on those? Those are the main ones. And then also vocal range, that's another one. I just added that in there. Vocal range, songwriting skills. I feel like the one I'm bouting for has the most, but that's neither here nor there.
See,
but
okay.
Songwriting. No, that ain't gonna be a point deduction because that was just me stating facts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but okay, point. Okay, points for songwriting, vocal range, best features, best if y'all want to add in accolades, if y'all want to bring in accolades, we can get points for that too, but that's not what I'm worried about. Okay, vocal ability, vocal range, and songwriting skills, and, just music, the artistry, we give them points on that as well. Those are all separate categories. So, how do y'all want to grade the point system? What's the most you want to give for, what's the most important one that you want to give the most points to? I forgot to tell y'all get a calculator out because this is serious. We gonna do this like a judge's card. We all got judge's cards.
Why don't you make it easy? Make the points even across the board.
Okay, that'll work. Okay, y'all want to give 100? Y'all, how do y'all want to grade the system? Y'all want to start at 100 points, 500? How do y'all want to do it?
Yeah, each one then you could say is 100 points each category.
Okay, that'll work. But what's the one? I need one that have like the most though. Cause it's gonna be like a knockout, like a TKO. Cause if we do a TKO, okay, we need one that's 500 that's gonna knock it out. Like, what's the one that's worth the most? Like 500 out of all those that I just named. Like, is it the vocal ability? Is that 500?
It's interesting.
The accolades 500.
It's interesting because that's like a standalone debate that everybody has all the time. That obviously a well-rounded artist would have something in all of those categories. You want to have strong features and remixes and, high sales, great awards, songwriting ability, vocal range, there's so much. It's image, fashion sense, their ability to call back on the history, like understanding, you know, who to revere in, you know, soul music, R&B, you know, whoever came before, the legends and icons. There's so many layers to, like, what makes a great artist, but it's true. At the end of the day, it's like, what do you think then is the most important component? Like, what makes somebody, you know, truly be crowned as, like, well, they are the best then? Like, some people may say, like, you know, because this is also, you know, I don't want to get too far, of course, but this is the whole thing that people get into with, you know, Prince and Michael, that it's like, well, you know, this one plays instruments. Well, this one, you know, is a better performer. This one's a better dancer. This one had, you know, more hits. And it's like, but what do you value within that? Because truthfully, it's like you want to be well-rounded in that you have all those things. But if you really did have to pick, like, what is the most important then? I mean, I imagine if you're talking about songstresses, that it really does come down to the voice.
Yeah. So the voice, okay, is the 500. Do you agree with that, EB? Okay, we just great. Okay, yeah, we do like Miss TLC said, the 100 points for each, and then the 500 for vocals. And we're going to base that off of the songs we pick, okay? And I feel like I picked all, I feel like all her songs show that. So I feel like it wasn't even a hard choice for me. I feel like EB had to sit with the catalog for a couple of days, like, which song is it that shows her range?
I had to sit with a catalog. It's that Mary's catalog is so much more expensive than Faith's.
Right.
So it's like, how do you choose her more best expensive songs? Because I love, Mary has, what, 13 albums now? Of her own, 13 studio albums. So, and that's not even, you know, like compilation projects.
Well, that doesn't even count though, cause nobody, okay, Will's gonna explain the rules, because this is getting, what I almost said is going into the rules what Will's about to explain.
Right.
So give them the rules, and how many points, you get to choose how many points we deduct. I was gonna say a -500, but whatever you want to choose. Explain the rules to
them. Okay, alright. Each winner will get 100 points per round. Okay, now, except, since we have three, the majority rules. So let's say if EB agrees with Q-Land and TLC, she won't get 100 points, but EB and Q-Land will. If EB, sides with, TLC, then they will get the points and Q-Land won't. You understand how that works?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Okay? So, the winner is the majority rules, okay? 100 rounds per point, all right? But also, you can lose additional points now, you know, like, because, you know, in a battle royale, we cannot have any rabbit punches, any low blows, all right? any headbutts. And EB, this is for you. And no grabbing anybody by the balls, okay? We can't have that.
All right.
So anyway,
none of that. Don't you do none of that.
All right. Yeah, so this is what I want to do. Since we played that last,
how many points are you deducting for low blows?
Oh,
and 25. You get 25 with every low blow.
25 for low blows. Okay, I think that's fair enough.
Okay.
All right. So this is what we want to do.
How many do I get? How many warnings do I get though? Because you get warnings in boxing. How many warnings do I get?
I don't know about you, Q-Lin, because you used up your warnings back in March.
I'm asking. No, I didn't. We talking about this is a boxing match. You can't, that's old news. That's past that. We're going to talk about now. How many warnings do I get? I need to know this. Because I got jokes on my hip now.
Oh, two. You get two warnings.
Okay, I got two warnings. I just need to know where my line is.
Okay. So this is what we're going to do.
I got it. So. We're going to
start off with the last song that we played. All right. We want you to judge that. Now that was Faith Evans Faithfully, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we're going to get to that. So get ready. The bell is going to ring in 10 seconds. All right. So let's get this, folks. All right. Now this is, oh boy, the Battle Royale on Soul Savvy Show. And your host or your judges are Q-Lynn Green, Miss TLC, and Mr. EB. Let's give it up for them, folks. The match will start right now.
Hey.
All right.
I got my gloves on. Let's go. Put the mouthpiece in. Let's go.
All right, Q-Lan. Let's start.
Let's go. I'm ready. I got my punches ready. Okay, here we go. About to hit him with a counter punch. Okay, basically, faithfully, the replay value of this song. still no replay value means. That means it can be replayed on your playlist, on your shuffle, whatever. You can replay it. You can hit the back button so many times and listen to it. Just to give up an example, a four-year-old, the other night I was playing this because I was trying to get my list together, try to pick out the greatest songs from this amazing human being, Faith Evans. I was trying to, you know, pick my songs, and it was a wonderful four-year-old, a little girl, that listened, grabbed one of my earbuds and said, "This is a jam," because she used my words, she used my terminology. And guess how many times she played it? She played it at least five times. And then she looked at the photo, and she was like, "Oh, I like her hair. It's reddish with a blonde in." I was like, "Yeah, that's what it is. She has yellow in her hair." And then she said she didn't have any legs. And I had to explain to her that that's how the photo was taken. It was just they just wanted to focus on her face, and she called her a bubble guppy because she didn't have any legs in the photo. But the point is that she liked the song. And so my argument is that it can be played. Five-year-olds can like it. Four-year-olds can like it. Adults. Older adults, it doesn't matter. That song is replay value. She used a great sample, using the M2MA Juicy Fruit joint. The replay value of that song versus the Love No Limit, because I was trying to match the energy with EB. I was like, "Oh, I see what you're doing there. You're trying to get the up-tempos," because I had a lot of balance, but this is the mid-tempo that I picked, and I feel like it's a great song. Okay, if y'all want to counter that, if you want to talk about Love No Limit, the production, the songwriting,
yeah,
and that, we go from that.
I'll talk about Love No Limit. I mean, the reason I picked that song, for anybody who knows, is because that is the song that made me, like, fall in love with Mary. Like, we had all heard You Remind Me, and we'd all heard, Real Love, and, Reminisce and Sweet Thing, but I remember playing the cassette. What's the 411? I had it on cassette, and when I got to that song, it just like grabbed me. Like, I could not leave it. Like, there was no way I could leave this song. I had to play it over and over and over and over and over.
I think that's crazy that you just said that, just to interrupt for a second, because we've never actually discussed that, I don't think.
No, we haven't.
It was the same for me with that album. That the other one, like the bigger well-known hits, and as you do know, like I performed like Reminisce all over the place. That used to be like the song that was my signature song as a teenager, performing all over. But Love No Limit was actually the one that really drew me in, that I had to play it over and over and over again, and I do feel like the most kind of connected to that song on the album. So it's interesting that
I think
you know, Kulin should always talk about the Faith song that she picked first. You should talk about the Mary song, and then I can break down, like, in the middle what I think about both.
It's one of those songs, like, when you hear it, and you have to kind of go back to 1992, and you've never heard anything like that. You've never heard this melodic singer over a non-traditional R&B beat. And that song, first of all, was written by Kenny Green from Intro. Rest in peace to him. And it kind of, like, took on a life of its own. Like, even in the video, she's, like, it's, like, black and white, and it's kind of, like, sexy. And then listening to her sing the song, which is my favorite part, because, you know, the song starts, you hear the singer who has a voice that's not a traditional R&B voice, and then when it gets to the end and she does like the Anita Baker imitation a little bit at the end, and she plays with that, it grabs me. And that's one of those songs from 1992, it's 2018, that Mary can still perform, and people love it, people know it. I mean, and this is not even talking about the remix, which has took on another life of its own. This is just that song. She performed the remix so much that she started back performing the original because people wanted to hear the original. I think it's one of those things that just shows, it shows her range in a way, as an artist, just to take someone else's words and bring them to life like you did with that song. I think it's amazing.
Mm. Yes. Well, I are correct. I do love both of those songs. I do think that there was more as EB was saying, originality with Love No Limit, because it was kind of off the beaten path for what was being done at that time. Faithfully is a happier, free-flowing song that it's true that it's versatile, that any type of music lover would jam to it. Like, not everyone that I know wants to sit and listen to, like, a Love No Limit all day. For me and the people that I connect to most deeply in music, they get it and they would know. Faithfully is just like a very pretty, happy song that really anybody would be like, oh, this is very pretty and relaxing, and her voice floats all over it, and, you know, it's more relatable in that sense. But Love No Limit is very unique, and it was super original at the time, as Evie was just saying, and because it does throw back and hearken to the spirit of, you know, I do like when things do call upon that historical reference, that it was such an Anita Baker song. And, you know, Anita obviously meant so much to Mary, and so it just made sense, like, for her to do that on the album and to push for something that had a little bit more of a jazz reference. For me personally, I just think it's a stronger song, Love No Limit. And you're right that I think that the remix, then alone, is, like, another whole reason that,
it had different.
Like, the remix is phenomenal as well. So as much, like, I really do love Faithful, and it makes me happy, and I can, like, put it on over and over again as well, and shout to the cover of that album, which I just still
think
the most beautiful pictures. I mean, the style on that
album,
everything. I think that cover is phenomenal. But, yeah, for me personally, I go with Love No Limit as a winner for that.
How are you going to ignore the vocality of that song? Like, that's a hard song to sing.
I love Faithfully. I love the whole album, but that song I especially love. And it's not that I'm ignoring it. Like, it's a great song, but, I mean, in terms of, like, originality, it's not there.
I went to the third album. I'm going to play something from the debut album, because I feel like that's original as well. The producer she had, I think she sampled a few songs, but I'm just saying the originality of the songwriting, like, she wrote that. And I'm like, Mary wasn't writing on her first album like that. She didn't write on it at all. And Faith wrote on all her albums.
Yes, that is true.
Can they not get credit for that? We're talking about the song. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Mary might not have written on her first album, but a song like Faithfully could never have been made if Mary had not made What's the 411. She started subgenres. She started hip-hop soul, and there was no way that Faith could do a song like that if Mary had not laid the groundwork, the blueprint, for that to be done.
I don't know about that.
10 seconds.
Oh, my God. I'd
say the originality of that song, how she's writing, like, it's so hard to write songs, and she's writing in the flow of the beat. And so I'm saying most of her songs,
All right, so now.
I try to throw my last punches in.
All right. So that was, if I understand correctly, Miss TLC and EB still hanging in there with Mary J.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So Q-Lin, you lost that one. All right, we'll be back here. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But we'll be right back here. In the meantime, let's see. This is the Soul Savage Show on Studio W The Buzz, and we're going to come right back with some Mary J. Blige. How about that?
You know, sometimes there come a time in your life when you love something, you have to let it go. And even though you might feel there's still something there, you have to wake up. Stop living in a dream, because it's over now. You gotta think about you. Wonder why I can't live
Love I've Never Had, Mary J. Blige. And if you guys have just tuning in, we're having the Battle Royale here on the Soul Savage Show, with Q Lynn, Miss TLC, and EB. Battle Royale, Mary J. Blige versus Faith Evans. A little recap of the first, round. Oh, my girl Q Lynn went down. She got double teamed, got gang banged. I mean, just.
No. I slipped on. It was a wet spot on the floor. I slipped and fell. I'm not out.
You know, eyes a little swole up.
That was not a punch. So I slipped and fell.
I don't know. I was looking from the sideline. It looked pretty fair to me. Oh, my God. I just felt bad for it. But I'm confident that our girl Q Lynn, she will be back with a vengeance here. So we're going to start round two just about now, folks. Get ready. Q Lynn, Miss TLC, and EB. I'm hopeful that my girl can come back this time. Boy, because she got mugged the last round. All right.
Okay. What? I don't know. You played that song. I just realized there was sort of kind of a misunderstanding because I didn't pick all my songs, and so I'm trying to give him time enough to find the next song. The next song that I'm going to bout with that one is No Way. But do y'all want to wait until after he plays that song to talk about the?
I think we should do that.
Well, I played. I played what was on the list here. Let's see what we have.
That's my bad. When I sent you the second list, I forgot to put that on there. That's my fault.
Okay.
The next song I was wanting you to play is called No Way. It shouldn't be, yes. I want you to pull up No Way.
No Way.
That's my song to battle that.
No, wait, before he does that, I guess the point is, are we supposed to like what happens if you play a Faith song I love? Do I just need to shut up? Like,
no, you need to.
No, you can vote for it.
Like, who won that?
Obviously, that was
okay, because I just wanted to know, because I was
about that you so love something about a certain Faith song, too.
Okay.
Interestingly enough to me, when EB had mentioned this to me, I said, you know, it's so interesting because the automatic reaction is like, oh, yeah, Mary, because Mary was so important to me growing up and really affected my life in so many ways. But then I pause because I'm like, well, I'm a huge Faith fan, and Faith also like affected my life in so many ways too. So even though it's like that trigger reaction of like, oh, obviously Mary, like I would never not pick Mary. Like I actually really love Faith as well, and so I actually enjoy putting like direct songs against each other and discussing like those particular songs
elements. Yeah.
Of their artistry, because then it helps me even like get to the bottom of like, well, who would I pick in this particular round of like these two songs?
The funny thing is, I think that maybe perhaps I should have chosen the Faith song, and Q Lynn should have chosen the Mary song because it's crazy. Like I would have chosen like my favorite Faith songs. It would have been like what I consider to be the best. But I think the next song that she's going to play is actually one of the ones that I would have chosen, so I think it's great that she chose that one.
Yeah.
I think we could discuss, when you said that about her being original, technically she was not signed because she was singing over rap beats before because she was writing her own songs. She said in that interview, she said this on tape, so she said she was singing over, like EPMD songs and stuff like that over their records, so she was actually doing hip hop records before then. And she was background singing for Christopher Williams and all them. So technically, she was already in there as a background singer. She was doing that.
Yeah.
But I can't.
Well,
how can you get points for that? I get it, but I want to say, how can she get originality when it was sort of the theme of the label of the A&R to create that image for her?
Well, she gets originality because the what Andre Harrell did. First of all, what Andre Harrell did with Uptown is like one of the greatest things that's happened in my lifetime. I just got to say that. But she gets originality because when it came to like A&R, that's why she sat on the shelf for so long. When she started with Uptown and she's singing background for like Father MC or guests in here and guests in there, it's like they don't know what to do with her. But once Puffy came in and realized, okay, this is just who she is, let her be herself. So that was her originality. Like, it wasn't hard to groom her to be anything that she wasn't, because she's from day one has always been original, has always been herself. Like, A&R didn't have to come in, or the label didn't have to say, well, let's make her like this artist, or let's make her like this artist. Because back in that day, if anybody remembers, the big R&B artists were like Stephanie Mills, like it was like a Sherelle, maybe like a Michelle A was
Angela
around.
Angela Bush, because she
Yeah, right, exactly. So it's like Mary came in, and that, which I think is a smart move. Okay, well, if we can't make her like these people because she's not going to be a traditional ballad singer, then
they
guess
went
what?
Male Joe
Let
to
her
speak.
Be herself.
Jack
right.
Swing.
Let her be herself. She's rough. Like, she's rough around the edges. And people will connect with that. So I think that's where the originality comes in. Because, and not to throw anything at Faith, Mary is one of the few artists after 1985, 1990, who came into the game not having to be a clone of anyone else. She was allowed to just be her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what separates her from most artists. Because most artists are not allowed that. Not the artist's fault necessarily, but like with the label and A&R and, you know, marketing and all that. It's like, well, we have to make them to be like this person, make them to be like that person. With Mary, it was just be yourself. That, to me, is originality.
Okay.
Well, I will say this also. When you know, and this is one of the things I've always broken down with the Mary Faith conundrum, is that a lot of it just comes to timing, because if you know, you know, obviously Mary has a couple years on Faith. I think she's exactly like 2 years older. And so their trajectory kind of went at the same path, at the same timing, but Faith lagged behind because she was also younger, and then she got in the game younger.
Right.
She got in the game later. So she kind of, it's like timing that, of course, like no matter what, then Mary was out. So it's like, even if she had come out with that rougher kind of edge to her, then people would have just been like, oh, it is just the Mary clone. But her voice wasn't rough anyway. Like, she had that honey soprano.
No, totally different.
She couldn't have done that anyway. But if you know their history and, you know, biographically what they went through, and kind of like their entrance into music and through the church and everything else, their history is extremely similar. And it was just that Faith, you know, had two musician parents rather than one with Mary, and she went more towards, like, the L.A. route for a bit to be like, I'm really going to just, you know, make myself happen, and got, like, a lot more studio work and writing and all that, like, behind the scenes before really getting her chance. And so I do believe that if you take that timing out of it, if they were, like, the same exact age and Puff found them both, like, at the same exact time.
At the same time.
It would have been interesting, because I think that Faith could have been the Mary. Like, Faith could have been the person that came out as, like, a hip-hop soul type of person. They could have made her, you know, sound a little rougher, even though her voice isn't so much like that, because she does that hip-hop sound as well.
Right.
So I think a lot of that is timing, but it is true what E.B. is saying, that it's like, you can't deny that. Like, she created a genre, she was herself, she wasn't a clone of anybody else, like, she came out, there was nothing like it, that's why she got so much, like, stands-up attention. It was like, you know, the guys were running that R&B rough edge up until that point, and here comes a woman that's doing it, and it was a solo woman, you know, so there definitely was originality in her entire introduction into the space. Whereas, like, Faith, you know, her debut is magnificent. It's just, like, such a stellar piece of beautiful music from start to finish. I mean, you could just roll that over and over and over again, but it wasn't like, oh, well, I've never heard something like this before, because by that point, it was like they were already, you know, meshing hip-hop and R&B thanks to, like, you know, Puffy with Uptown and Bad Boy anyway. But that's, like, her fault. It's like, she was putting out beautiful music, and she wrote it all, and it was just incredible. I mean, that entire album is just so incredible. But she, just because of timing, it's like, no matter what, when she came out with that in 95, it's like, all right, you know, this is where the industry is right now. Like, now everything is hip-hop and R&B together.
I just want to say this before he sounds the bill. Before you sound the bill, I didn't make my point yet. Since we great, this round is about originality. Let's talk about the originality of Faith Evans. Y'all talked about Mary J. Blige. Okay, when she came in, she has gospel all through her background, right? She started in a gospel group with gospel band with some of her relatives, and that's what honed her singing skills. But also, she was writing her own songs at a young age, writing her own songs, doing her own harmonies, and recording her own harmonies. And she was the first, I would say, in the industry to stack vocals. If you don't know what stack vocals mean, is to get different harmonies like the soprano range, the alto range, the tenor, the low bass. She stacked all those. She knew how to do that before getting into the industry. And when we talk about originality, her first debut album, she wrote the entire album with the help of some. But she, and the, all the bridges, all the harmonies, all the choruses, the hooks, all that stuff, she wrote that herself. And she said out of her own mouth that she didn't get no direction from anybody. She would go in the studio, turn the lights off, just her in there, and just sing. And Puffy was trying, she said Puffy was trying to direct her, and she told him, she basically told him to shut his mouth because he don't know nothing about harmonies and how to do all that. And so all the stuff you hear on Faith's debut album, that's all her. That's unheard of to me. I don't know anybody that stacks harmonies. So when you talk about the originality, when people try to compare her to Mary J. Blige, I don't even understand it, because she was on a whole different level when her first solo debut album. Mary J. Blige wasn't stacking harmony. She wasn't in the studio producing her own vocals. Faith was doing that on her first album. And I feel like that's way more important to talk about.
Well, I think people compare her to Mary simply because that's what it was. She, by her own
admission, she was
a Mary.
No, it was just about who she was associated with.
Right.
With
no, it's not about that. It's about, she was literally, the company meant to make her a Mary J. Blige clone. If you think about the 90s, most of the people in the 90s really were Mary J. Blige clones.
That's not what she said, though. She faced got her in there.
But there's also the point that Faith admits herself that Mary is the queen. Like, Mary will go in and know.
That's besides the point.
Like you said, was gospel. So she was like, Mary would go in and know, like, this old hook and all these samples. There are stories where Puff had them both in the studio working together, and I guess what he wanted was that raw sound. That was what was selling at the time. So it was feed Faith cigarettes and feed her beer or liquor to get her to sound like Mary. It was, they were pushing her to sound like somebody else. Not saying Faith isn't original. I mean, her first album is stellar.
Wait, that's what you're saying, though. Because that's how the story she took.
Original is not the most original with that, you know, versus situation. Like, she has originality in her career and her path and her, you know.
Definitely.
But when you put them both together, it's like, which one is more original? You know, it's interesting because with, it really does come down to Puff. Like, even though, you know, Faith has said certain things about it and Mary and Puff all individually, it really did come down to at that time that, you know, when Puff was starting Bad Boy and when he left Uptown, of course, because of the success that he had with Mary and because their relationship was so amazing, like, of course, he would have loved to truly launch Bad Boy with Mary, but by that point, it was like she was contractually bound to Uptown anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew in his head, as anybody does, like, executives do this all the time, and A&R people, whatever, managers, when they find, like, a gem, and they want to, you know, start off a new venture, but they can't take that person with them, even subconsciously, they may not admit it, but, like, they're obviously just looking for another version of that. Because he was like, look, you know, we made magic with What's the 411 and My Life. I need to find somebody now that I could do that same thing over with again. And that's why when, you know, he was, you know, interacting with Faith through, like, the Usher project and everything else, it was like he knew in his head then it's like, oh, well, there you go. Boom. Like, there's my Mary. And then I can help to launch my label with that.
Right. And I still say,
then, of course,
the only one who could have did that.
Aisle and all that.
10 seconds.
I don't think that's true. I think, that's all alleged to me. I'm saying what they're saying out of their own mouth. I heard Mary say one thing that, like y'all said, the label's that. And then Faith, I'm saying what she said, but she did in the studio to create those harmonies, because those were her signature mark was the stack vocal.
All right. Okay, very good arguments there. So, oh boy, we're going to have to tally this thing up, so let's take a look at it. Okay. Q-Lan, so still Mary J. Blige Does Q-Lin get any help here, folks?
Listen, I shouldn't get 100 points. We talk about originality. I feel like that should be 100 points all around. Because when you talk about originality, when you talk about artistry, when you talk about the album in itself, the creativity and the harmony, you can't deny the songwriting. You can't deny the originality. Nobody was doing that.
Well,
like, you got to give credit. You got to give the 100 for originality.
Well,
that's, like, undebatable.
Okay, so we're going to talk about originality. The song that was just played was The Love I Never Had. Big Jim Wright, Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, and Mary all wrote that song. But that was at a time when Mary deviated from the formula that she started, that everybody else was doing. Oh, this hip-hop soul thing. And she's like, okay, let me do something soulful and R&B, something ballad, you know, a ballad with some live instrumentation. I think for originality, she gets that. We're just always being able to switch it up when everybody.
But we can't do the two songs yet. We ain't talking about the songs yet. We talking about the originality because he hasn't played the other.
Oh, just originality. Mary gets it. I mean, if Faith had debuted first and was still given, you know, the image that she had, then Faith might get it from me. But I just can't deny Mary came first, and I can't help but think that. You know, whether
it's
intentional
or
unintentional.
You can't discount the originality, though, from Faith.
I told you she
created all harmonies. I did not get originality from that.
It's time to vote. It's time to vote.
I give 100 for Faith. That's mine.
Okay. Miss TLC?
Mary all day.
I feel like if you broke down, if you only had like 100 points to give in the category of originality, I feel like it would probably go like, I'd say it would go 70 to Mary, 30 to Faith. Because it's true, that harmony element is definitely a mark of originality. Like, she was really creating that angelic sound.
You can't give her 100? You can't give Faith Evans a hundred.
And you had to say, like, which one gets which, because I still do think that...
Well, Buckles alone on the first album sits on, what's the 411? I can't take it.
Mary's genre and the style of a woman coming out as like an R&B person that was still so rough around the edges. You know, like Faith wasn't creating a new genre or a new space. She was a very pretty singer, which there were a million other, you know, other pretty singers before her. So the one mark of like something that she was doing like on a deeper level that everybody wasn't doing, like you're right, I mean, she was really bringing all those very technically adept harmonies into that hip-hop space. You know, I mean, she was essentially on, you know, a hip-hop label, but she still cared about that very precise, you know, vocal arrangement. That's what she was doing, like, prior as a, you know, a background vocalist and a writer. Like, she was, like you said, like, going at Puff about it because it was like, no, I need, you know, the perfection in the vocals. So, yeah, I mean, I think that she was one of the first people, because one of the things that, you know, she should also get credit for is that, you know, Mary, it was more about that edge and that soul and her creating this genre. But Faith, you know, she was coming out after Mariah, who had come out years prior. Mariah also was doing, like, the most incredible, you know, vocal acrobatics and had that whole perfect, like, honeyed voice and all the harmonies and what have you. But Mariah at that time, all through, you know, the late 80s and early 90s prior to Faith, was only doing it on pop records, on, you know, traditional and all that. Faith was doing it with that hip-hop edge, and then Mariah obviously jumped over to that after she did befriend, you know, Puff and everybody else, that she started seeing, like, well, that's who I am, too. Like, I want to break away from Tommy and do this kind of, like, rougher stuff with her Butterfly album, which then was after Faith had already had her debut. So I do believe that Faith did definitely influence a lot of that. Like, she kind of usher in that whole, you know, I have a very pretty, technically adept voice, but I can get on that rough hip-hop edge.
Okay.
You know, like,
songwriting, the last for the point. Songwriting, who gets that? And then we're going to talk about the two songs once he plays this one. Who gets, okay, originality, you said you splitting it to 70-30, and EB said 100, I said 100, he said 100 for Mary, and I said 100 for Faith. Okay, songwriting, who gets 100 points?
And, I mean, in my opinion, it's is going to be married only because I relate to what she writes.
What?
Like, it's, no, no, but music is relative. It's something that's relative. In my opinion,
are
it's
you
married,
serious?
I relate
no.
to what she writes.
Okay, let's talk about her songwriting on the first album. Talk about the songwriting on the first album.
Well, see,
you can't because
okay,
she don't have any credits
doing.
On the first album.
You're, right, but this is what you're doing. You're trying to make it about, oh, that first album. And that's great. Faith's first album
the,
is
the
great.
Whole album, her whole catalog, she
no,
wrote on
great.
All of it.
It's great.
And we want to go
I
that route.
That, but by that time, Married hasn't come into herself where
that doesn't,
they
but
would
Faith
let
just came out with a whole album, and she came into herself the first album. I already knew what she was about
right,
the first album.
I,
and
I
she's songwriting.
Okay.
So you can't give no points for songwriting? She doesn't get credit for songwriting on the first album.
Can I split my points? I didn't, like, what?
I think you can. I think that's a good thing to do.
Oh.
My that, I do think, like, it's interesting, because if you do look at both of their first albums, but I think you said, like, we would discuss that as a separate element, like, just going with the first album, because, of course, that's always, like, the most important for anybody, like, your actual debut and entrance into the world. And it's interesting because, of course, if people talk about their artistry for both of them, most smart people would say that they absolutely adore both of those albums and can listen to both of those albums, like Morning, Noon, and Night. If you're smart and you know music, you gotta give props to both of those albums. They're both incredible. But it's true then when you look at the other side of it and it's like, but that was all Faith's writing. Like she was really presenting just herself on that album, whereas Mary was performing tracks from other writers and producers, which nothing against her, that's what most artists were doing. I mean, that was like Mariah's thing in the beginning too. It's like you were just, you know, the front for all of it, and that was just the way that the machine worked. It was like, you know, unheard of, you know, outside of like a Prince to be like, no, I'm just doing it all myself. Like, leave me alone. Even if they had the ability to do it, it was like, no, you're young. This is, you know, your entrance into the world. We teach you how it works. We're going to write it for you. We're going to produce it for you. Like, you need these professionals behind you who just feed you the material and you make magic with it. Whereas Faith, like, pushed for it because she had so much experience at that time, but really also because she had a lot of say with Puff because it was like, oh, no, I'm the first lady and you're young and I have experience in the industry doing the behind-the-scenes stuff, so I'm going to kind of, you know, take you through this because you don't write R&B music either, so you have to just leave me alone to do it on my own. So in songwriting, you know, especially from the beginning of their career, then, yes, it goes to Faith. Like, Mary has written, you know, incredible work later on in her career. But, yeah, I mean, when you're looking at just the strength out the gate, the fact that Faith was allowed to do that, to push and say, like, no, my debut album is all going to be written by me, and it's an incredible album, is, you know, interesting when you do pit those against each other. Because when people bring up Mary, like, even though she's had such an illustrious long career, you know, and she's had so many hits throughout all of these stages, really she's always synonymous with, like, what's 411 in my life. And Once the 411 was not written by her, which is interesting when you do look at it that way.
Very true.
All right, we're going to go to the next song. We'll be right back.
You said
And we're back. This is the Soul Savage Show. All right. EBQN and Ms. TLC. We're having a battle royale. And Q-Land, oh boy, let's see, how many bouts have we had so far? My goodness.
We had three rounds. We're on four now.
I didn't actually say, though, my points for the songwriting. For songwriting, I would go with the opposite of what I said for originality. For songwriting, I would give Faith 70 and Mary 30.
Oh boy, okay.
Why is her points split up, though? I'm not understanding this. Why is her point split up? Well, I gave Mary the first round a cool 100. Why can't my girl get a 400 is what I'm trying to ask.
Okay, well, okay, Q-Land, it really doesn't.
Q-Land,
it doesn't matter. You still won that. If she gives you 70, 30, you still won that round. So now you're behind.
I thought we was counting. That's cool. All right, I'm cool now. I didn't know how we were doing the point system.
Particular songs, like if we're saying The Love I Never Had and No Way, The Love I Never Had, my personal take, is an incredible, incredible, like, powerful, soulful song. Like, she just goes there, she takes it through. I love Jam and Lewis, but for me, it's No Way. Like, No Way to me is just...
I just have to say that No Way is probably one of my favorite songs.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
Phenomenal, like her and Kelly Price and Jeffrey Powers, I think, wrote that. Oh, Jeffrey Walker wrote that. And just the way that Faith and Kelly get those background vocals,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, like most people today still don't even match that. Like,
no way. Literally, no way. There's no way.
No way. Right. No way. Like, you promised me. Like, I love it. It's amazing.
Yeah, that song is really, I mean, you have to have, like, such a deep, intrinsic reaction to it, because a visceral, like, soul, because everything, mm-hmm. like, slides through that melody, and then you just get the echo of, like, the sax in the back, like, yeah, that song is just really...
Yeah, definitely.
Perfection. So, yeah, I mean, those two songs, and like I said, The Love I Never Had is an incredible, incredible song. But if you're saying, like, those particular two songs, like, I go with No Way.
All right.
Okay, so are the rounds even? Is that what it is?
No, nope, the rounds aren't even.
Yes, it is.
You're down by one round, okay?
Okay, we had the Mary J. Blige versus the Love No Limit versus... Faithfully. Y'all said Mary won that one. The
right.
second one was the originality, and right. y'all gave, what was it?
Mary was the originality. She won. Then songwriting,
okay,
I think.
Songwriting, Faith
and,
won.
And No Way with Love I Never Had, Faith won. So yeah, it is even.
Okay, so the fourth, yeah, it is even. Okay, I'm just make sure I get my points right in that, we don't have the referee over here jumping in and, trying to disqualify me. That's alright. He's trying to
You were
I'm the underdog in this because everybody's picking Mary, okay? And so I'm the underdog, and so I feel like the heavyweight champion is going, I feel like he's cheating for the headwinds. I'm just trying to make sure we clear.
No.
And that we get some understanding going on.
Okay.
That's all I want to know, because he's, okay. No. I just want to make sure the referee ain't doing too much. I'm just trying to see what's going on. That's
no,
it.
Okay. So in that case, this is round three coming up. Instead of round four.
Yeah, so round five was, well, since you won that round, we're going to go to round five and do the other two songs.
You can't be even, Q-Land. There's no way you can be
even. I am
even.
She just said, Miss Chelsea just said I have not
won. You've only won one round.
I won two rounds.
You won one round.
I won two rounds and two. No.
I think where it gets confusing is that we played Love No Limit at the top of the show, and then we started the show and then explained the game, and then
right.
we went into it. But I don't think.
No, the only one confused me as well.
Totally understood.
Only confused as well.
It is you did so far. You're going every other one is a round that's based on songs, and then a round that's based on a topic, which is actually good. Like, that's creative and a cool way to do it. So, like, the first round was songs. It was Love No Limit and Faithfully.
Faithfully, right.
round was about a topic. It was about originality. The third round was songwriting, a topic, and the fourth round was The Love I Never Had and No Way.
Versus No Way, right.
All right, yeah. Then let's check the votes. Round one. All right, Miss TLC, you had Faith Evans. Evie, you had Faith Evans, right?
No, we had, me and she and I had Mary.
You had Mary. All right, so Q-Lan lost that. Round two. Okay, Miss TLC, you had Faith Evans. And EB, you had Faith Evans.
No.
The opposite. The first and second, we both had Mary.
Right.
That's
right. We
both had
Mary for the first and second round.
That's right. Now the third round.
The third round was what? Songwriting, maybe?
Yeah, third round.
Songwriting, so I think Faith won songwriting.
Okay, alright, Faith, okay, and the fourth round.
And the fourth round is No Way in the Love I Never Had, so Faith wins that one.
Faith wins that one, so it's tied. You're right, Q-Lan. Okay.
Listen, we're going to go to the third. I've already got my mouthpiece and I'm ready to go back in. So, whatever you want to do.
Okay, well then we're going to play this next song and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Simple fantasy that I wish was reality, that you come knocking at my door and we relive this dream once more. Last night I dreamed that you so heavenly, you held me close to you.
And we are back with the Battle Royale. That was Mary J. Blige and Dream. And we're back, Q-Lynn Green, Miss TLC, and EB. So far in this Battle Royale, we have Miss TLC and EB. It's tied now. Q-Lynn, she got off of the mat, folks. I'm telling you, this girl has resilience like no other. All right, it's even now. We'll be back. The next song we're going to play after this next Battle Royale here, we're going to have to fight this one out because we have 6 rounds to this match. And so let's see what we're going to do. We're going to let's talk about this a little bit. Now Q-Lynn seems like
okay.
It seemed like she got a little upset there for a while because she felt like
yeah, because the referee kept saying that I was losing, so it's getting me a little bit flustered. Because I feel like I'm ahead four, so I don't even know what's going on right now.
Okay. We're going into round five here. So we're just going to start this bout off right now. And here it is. All right.
Okay. The fifth round, we got to do this real, real quick because we run out of time. Okay. Vocal range. I don't even feel like I need to, I feel like I have to throw, I feel like I got the TKO. She has, the octaves. She has the range. Miss Faith Evans. This is Faith Evans Jordan, if we want to be technical. But she has all the range, the gospel harmonies, unheard of on a debut album. I just want to say, although she knows how to go into her falsetto, she knows how to give everything, and she knows when to finesse her voice. Like, she do records like No Way, as he just played earlier, to where she's taking you on the journey with the song. I don't feel Mary J. Blige takes you on a journey with the production. The production takes you on a journey. But beyond that, Mary's voice is only so much. She only goes up 2 to 3 octaves. Faith Evans' voice, her range is from a very a crescendo of a falsetto. She can go to that highest range in the octave of whatever key she's singing in, and she can also go down to her lowest register in her bass range. And so I feel vocal range, she gets 100 points. Real quickly, so we go to the next song, who's winning the vocal range? I gave 100. Who are y'all giving for vocal range?
For me, since music is so relative and I connect with Mary's voice, I'm going to give it to Mary. Just off
of course
the strength of, like, Aretha, Shaka, Patty, they've all said, and she's actually been the artist that won all of them Grammys in the two, post-2000s, they've all said, we've been in the studio with her, and when you listen to the record, you can't tell who's me or who's her. So I like the fact that Mary has her own voice that's very distinctive, but there are times that she can get to the studio with a heavyweight. And even the heavyweight themselves have admitted that they would have to listen back to see who is them. Like, Shaka Khan's range is out of this world. Not saying that Mary could ever be Shaka or she could ever be Aretha or Patty. I think they're all heavyweights, as is Mary, but I give vocal range to her because she has this ability that they don't have to switch to be original with their vocals,
but
they could also imitate someone else.
Wow. Are you being honest right now? Are you being honest?
Okay, Miss TLC. Miss TLC.
I'm not taking anything from Faith. I want that to be known. I'm not taking anything away.
I'm just basing on technical purposes of singing beyond songs.
But that's the thing.
Range.
Everybody,
you give 100 to Mary.
The way
okay.
I do music, I don't do technical. I do, it's relative to me.
But that's how we're doing the judges' card. We're not doing it. I said we're doing vocal range.
Okay. The vocal, Miss TLC. Miss TLC is
the
deciding vote before the next
right. This is the thing. If you're saying, if you were calling the category just voice, then EB is correct, because there's levels to the texture, the tone, the way she could match like so many legends, and it is relative. It's what you personally connect to, because that's the thing. Like, Mary has such a deep soul that it just bores a hole into me when I listen to her music. Like, you just want to stomp your feet. Like, it's just deep, and it is there. But if you're speaking about technicality, and you're actually talking about octaves and vocal range, and, you know, the ability to go into soprano and falsetto and this and that, like, then it is Faith. So it really depends on what is the clarification on what you're judging on.
I'm not doing it personal. Because if I love Mary's voice, if I pick personal, I'll be like, I love Mary's voice. I'm going to pick her. But I'm talking about reason why I say technical. It's not about personal because I'm trying to be objective. Okay. I'm not trying to be subjective.
So then,
because if we be subjective.
I'll edit my answer a little bit. Since I've seen both of them live multiple times, I will say that sometimes what Faith has given me in the studio doesn't match what I get live. Not saying it's bad, but it's just different. With Mary, I've been to so many Mary shows I can't even count. But there have been times that girl go back again. This was, but there have been so many times that I would have sworn she was lip singing. I would have sworn they were playing something because depending on the night, she can do these things. So I still just have to give it to Mary for me.
It's interesting.
No, I'm not talking about. I'm talking about just in general. I mean, in their voices.
That's another portion of this. Like live, I do think I've seen them both several times as well, and I do think that live, it's interesting. Faith isn't exact at the record level when it's live, and Mary supersedes the record label when it's live because she's a bit more free flowing with it, and then she lets it just take over her soul because it's more about like the spirit of it. But I will say that I've seen Faith do Shirley Murdoch's As We Lay, and people were like, or practically crying, like, you know, slitting their wrists.
It was amazing doing it. Yes.
Or, like, she could kill it and, you know, play with, like, every level of vocals, you know. So that's an interesting component of it as well.
Okay.
So who
all right,
that?
We're almost out of time. We've got to go to the next. The next one. So this one, E.B., Mary J.
Mary.
And Miss TLC, yeah. Mary J.
For range, I'd say, this is difficult because I guess I would say like 50-50 on this.
Okay.
So technical range, I'd say Faith, but the soul and texture and tone, I'd say Mary.
Wow.
So on that one, I would say 50-50 for me.
Okay, that makes it an even round. So this is the final and deciding round. Coming up, hey folks, here it is, Faith Evans kissing you.
I can't believe it's happening. I
great song. Faith Evans. Kiss
Me. Oh, my God.
All right, all right.
I'm
hey, folks, we're out of time.
Yep. Right.
Yep.
Hey. Did you play both? We got a soundtrack song on purpose with that, with the Money Talks and...
No, it wasn't. Elf? It wasn't on purpose, no.
Oh, well.
Okay. Hey, folks, we got to start. Oh. We've got to start this next round. We got 1 minute each to make your arguments. Mr. Melody is here, and he says, Q-Len, he's going to have to charge you $100 an hour. A minute. I'm sorry for going over.
$100 an hour. No, we have a Royal Rumble. A Rumble.
All right, let's get it started. All right, Miss TLC, your point.
So this is about, are we doing a topic, or are we doing just those two songs?
Just those two. The last song would be A Dream. We're going to play that at the end of the show, the Mary J. Blige. I think that's the next. I'm talking about this.
My final song is going to be You Plus Me.
Yeah, that's what I meant. My bad. Sorry, Evie. That's not what I meant.
Okay.
I meant to say
one minute each. Right. 1 minute each. Running out of time.
Okay. All right. My point is that she wins on every category. Kissing You song. The range, the vocal range, she took you, like I said, her voice takes you on a journey. Getting at that end of that bridge, going into the, going out of the chorus, the ad-libs were amazing. She had the best producer on, producing the whole soundtrack, Babyface. She get 100 points, that's all I gotta say. Miss TLC, I know he picked, Mary for the You Plus Me, but what do you pick between You Plus Me versus, Kissing You?
Real quick. So the Dream Kissing You, because that
right,
was the
right.
last
Dream. Right.
And that's why I said, they're both soundtrack songs. That was creative.
Right.
Oh, you picked that. Okay, so you pick, or is it split, or is it, we got to give the points real
no,
quick.
No, she's saying it's going to be versus A Dream versus Kissing You.
I guess so. I'm not sure.
Okay,
yeah,
Evie?
Let's go with that.
Evie?
For me, I love Kissing You. It is, you know, a great song. Faith took me all the way there. I love the song so much, but I still give it to Mary for taking a DeBarge song and like just kind of shaming Bunny DeBarge on her own song. I think that's been a superpower of Mary since she's come out. Like her remakes have always just been like, you know, whether you love them or you don't, songs like I'm Going Down, Sweet Thing, I'm In Love, One, there's so many that her remake is now the definitive version. Even though I love Shaka's Sweet Thing more than anything.
It's true. Mary's
Sweet Thing now, they sing Mary's ad-lib. They're singing Mary's version. No one is singing Shaka's version. Which it's good and bad.
So it was what's the round? We got to end it real quick. I don't want to cut you off, but we got to end the show.
I'm okay.
Yeah, for that one, I go with Mary.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I demand a recount, but that's my opinion. We're going to call
maybe
this a draw. This is a draw. We'll do a part two. I'm not done yet, and we got to end the show. This is a draw. I demand a recount. No, this is a draw.
It was no draw.
Thank you so much for Ms. TLC. Real quick, Will. It's only taking about 30 seconds. Thank you so much, Ms. TLC, for coming on, for being a guest host. We will be on break. No problem. Thank you so much. And then next Thursday, we'll be gone, and we'll be back the first week of December. So thank y'all for tuning in to Showdown is Radio. Evie, you final thoughts? You got any Savvy Heathen Talk or something like that to take us out?
Savvy Heathen Talk, actually, both of these artists are amazing trailblazers. Their careers just went in different directions. So definitely go out and listen to both discographies, guys.
I love both. Yeah. I love both. And Faith Evans getting tributed on Soul Train Awards. They're pre-taping it this weekend, and it's going to be airing the end of November. So make sure y'all check that out on Soul Train Awards.
Incredible artists again.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And my savvy heathen talk is, the only thing coming to mind is everything E.B. said about getting praise from legends, Faith Evans got the same praise from the legends. So that's all I want to say. They're both amazing. We out.
Thank you. And thank you, Miss TLC. Miss TLC, thank you so much. You've been listening to the Soul Savage Show here on Studio W The Buzz. Hey, coming up,
Mr.
Melody and her mellow moods right here. Keep it locked on The Buzz, folks. Enjoy your Thursday. Right,
You plus me was a good lesson. In too deep with our imperfection. Not always good enough. You had me, should have never questioned. You plus me was a good lesson. In too deep with our imperfection. Not always good, but I stay home with me. You had me, should have never questioned. You plus me. You had me.